Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Well, it's been a good two-day run on Locked On Pelicans of positive news, of great things coming for the Pels after their win Monday night with the Tuesday podcast, talking about that victory over the Boston Celtics. Yesterday, Wednesday, we were talking about how Drew Holiday's coming back to the New Orleans Pelicans. He'll be playing on Friday and Saturday, making his return, meaning his wife's happy. But the Pelicans couldn't go and keep up that positivity, losing tonight to the Orlando Magic 89-82 on the road without Anthony Davis. That's kind of the key here. Hi, everyone. I'm Jake Madison, your host of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, at Nola Jake on Twitter. I'm also a writer for BourbonStreetShots.com, where you can check out most of my work. So the Pelicans couldn't keep it going, losing 89-82 to the Orlando Magic. Anthony Davis was a late scratch for this game. He had practiced on Wednesday with the team when they were in New Orleans before flying out. Then he did not participate in the shoot-around yesterday before the game. He was downgraded to questionable before finally being ruled out right before the game and sitting down, missing his first game of the year. So we'll talk about their performance tonight. Where do they go from here? Losing to the lowly Orlando Magic, a team that's 5-7 now. They were 4-7 going into this. Not a very good team overall. You thought this could be a game the Pelicans would be able to win even without Anthony Davis, as long as one or two people stepped up, and at least one person did for the Pelicans. Overall, though, not a great night for them. This was one they wish they could have had. Grabbing a win without Anthony Davis on the court would have been a huge boost to the morale of these backups and the rest of the players. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get it done, and this podcast today is going to focus on that. Who played well? Who didn't? What do they do next? Where do they go from here? First, give this team some credit for actually coming out and making this a game, even though the first half didn't show it where they were down 40-52. But go back to the Lakers game this past Saturday. When Anthony Davis got hurt, fell on his back awkwardly, and headed to the locker room, no one on this team played after that. I think they saw their leader, their main guy, the guy who's been putting this team on his back, even though it was hurt at the time, the person who's carrying this team, go to the locker room, and they just gave up. They didn't care. They figured they had no chance in winning once he went into the locker room, assuming he wasn't going to come back, which is what I think was going through the mind of most of those players. But he came back, and they were still out of that one. But the team quit. Now you're going into a game without Anthony Davis at all. That same mindset could have permeated everyone on this team, and they didn't. They tried to at least play. The first half was very, very ugly. Like I said, down 40-52, a 12-point deficit. I think they missed their first 8 field goals it was to start the game. They were trying hard. The effort was there. They just weren't shooting and connecting on shots. That got them buried, very early. But then the second half rolled around. The Pelicans put together a 12-0 run led by Terrence Jones, and he's the first player we're going to talk about today. Started in place of Anthony Davis, played 37.5 minutes, and he was absolutely fantastic. This game's a blowout in favor of the Magic, without him. And I said he was a catalyst for that win over Boston when that team started to blow the lead, where the Celtics started to creep back in this, and then all of a sudden they took the lead and got ahead of the Pelicans. He was the spark. He was the guy who grabbed offensive rebound after offensive rebound and threw him down for putback dunks. And tonight, he was outstanding. He scored 26 points total, grabbed 9 rebounds, all of them defensive, which is really what the Pelicans needed late in the game in the fourth quarter. It was kind of close, though. The Magic were looking to ice it. They took a shot, missed, And Vucevic grabbed the offensive rebound, put it right back in when no Pelican went for it. So him getting 9 defensive boards is huge for the Pelicans. They need someone who can do that. He was shooting 3-pointers. He was 2 of 4 from deep. He was getting inside and working his way to the rim. And the Magic didn't really have an answer for him, even though they've got some pretty solid big men in Biombo, Ibaka, and Vucevic. So he was key for the Pelicans tonight. You have to figure he might be the starter going forward. I know they want to use Dante Cunningham probably at the 3 right now with Solomon Hill not playing well. Solomon Hill, you know, by the way, only had, I think it was 2 total points on the night. Yeah, 2 total points on the night. Was absolutely – he's attacking. He's doing some things quite well. He's just not scoring. He's not a great shooter. He missed an easy layup at the rim, and that's something you just can't do, especially for a guy like him right now who needs to get some offense. Not being able to get any is absolutely atrocious. His 2 points came from going to the free throw line where he caught kind of a lucky foul, which, hey, good for him. Pelicans need that kind of thing. But, you know, you'd like to see him scoring more off the corner 3, off driving to the rim, off cuts, whatever it is, and he's just not doing it. But going back to Terrence Jones, you know, I think right now if you're Alvin Gentry, you've got to start Tim Frazier on Friday still. I don't think you can put Holiday into that place just yet. I think you go Frazier, Moore, Galloway. Dante Cunningham, Terrence Jones, and Anthony Davis with that front court pairing of Terrence Jones and Anthony Davis. And if you remember, I was really critical of that to start the year. That small lineup got bested pretty easily in preseason, actually against the Orlando Magic where they gave up a big run. It struggled to grab defensive rebounds. But this is a bit of a different Terrence Jones. You know, I'm not willing to say he's turned a corner just yet, but he's looking significantly better. He's grabbing rebounds better than he has. He's much more aggressive on offense. And I think maybe you've at least got to try that lineup out just to see if it works. Because right now, you're not getting a ton from guys like Omer Asik and Alexi Ajinsa. Another guy we got to mention is probably someone else you've been paying a bit more attention to, and that's going to be Langston Galloway. He had a very good night against Boston the other night. He followed up with a very solid performance off the bench. He shot 50% from the field, was 6 of 12 for 15 total points. Got a pair of assists in there. Tim Frazier's really been struggling right now, leading this offensive attack for the Pelicans. He was kind of a non-factor tonight. You didn't really, you know, recognize him or see that he was on the court. He only got 27 minutes as opposed to the more he's been getting because of that. You know, again, he's having a lot of turnover issues. I wouldn't be shocked to see Galloway starting to get more playing time than Frazier. And maybe he's going to get the start on Friday instead of Jrue Holiday or Frazier. But Galloway is a guy who's starting to play particularly well for this team. He's starting to come into his own. It seems like he's just a little bit more comfortable with the offense being the kind of creator now rather than an off-ball guard. I think he likes having the ball in his hands at times a little bit more. His 3-point shots coming into his own. He was 3 of 8 tonight. Not a particularly great line, but he's still taking those shots, which is really important. He can make them. He had an answer tonight where the Magic hit a big 3, and then he just took the ball, stepped right up, shot it, and drained it. Gives him a bit too much confidence at times. You see him take contested 3s after dribble, 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 and then hoist up a contested 3, which is not ideal. If he can play within the system and a little bit less selfishly, I think he'll thrive. But we're not there yet. But you can see he's been improving as the year's going on. And that's something Pelicans fans, for a guy they signed for 2 years, 10 and 11 million, I think it was 10 and a half, you know, you really needed to see out of him because this Pelicans team expected him to be a big contributor for them off the bench. So down the stretch, the game was really close. And the Pelicans had a chance. They had the lead at one point. They gave it up. You know, part of it is they just put themselves in a hole too early, and it was too much to come back from. Even though they took the lead, you could see they spent their energy trying to fight their way back into the game, dig themselves out of the hole. A 12-point deficit, the half, is absolutely brutal to come back from. And this Pelicans team showed they have some fight in them. It was just it was done there at halftime. You know, even though they got the lead, they just couldn't stop the Magic from scoring. They couldn't come up themselves with buckets in clutch situations. They had a couple of empty trips on the offensive end at times when you just don't You just can't have it happen. And they did. And that's what's going to happen without your star player and Anthony Davis playing a guy who you can rely on to get you that score. It's going to happen when you don't have Jrue Holiday out there, another key player for this team, or Tyreke Evans. And you don't want to just make injury excuses. But you could see tonight, this is why they lost. If they have Davis, this is an entirely different game. And they probably win this one fairly easily. And, you know, so down the stretch, close game when they needed a defensive rebound, and the Pelicans were struggling at that point. They only had a defensive rebound percentage of 75% on the night. They really, in order to win, needed to be up towards 80, closer, you know, to that number. Probably could have subbed Omer Asik in. I haven't been a big fan of putting him in just to grab a rebound, because then you've got to go down there and get an offensive bucket. But they were struggling to rebound tonight, and I think Omer Asik would have helped on that final one where Vucevic grabbed it for the putback that iced the game. That was the dagger. No one moved. Everyone had their backs to the basket. No one jumped to get the rebound. I don't know what was going through their mind. That's coaching. That's something Alvin Gentry needs to take care of, because no one was looking for a defensive rebound. No, I think they were just all expecting someone else to grab it. And speaking of defense, the same mistakes reared their head tonight. There was one point in the fourth quarter where Elfrid Payton took an open three-pointer, and it was after a couple of switches, and the Pelicans were scrambling on defense at that point on that possession, but they were doing a good job covering everyone. They switched when they needed to switch. There was no open man. Then all of a sudden, Elfrid Payton they force a switch. Both Pelicans defenders dropped with the big towards the rim, leaving Elfrid Payton wide open in the short corner on the left-hand side. No, both Pelicans thought it was the other guy who was going to cover him. There was no communication on who was supposed to switch where. They just both decided to cover the same guy. Ball gets kicked out to Payton. He misses the three-pointer, luckily, but this is how you end up giving up wide-open three-pointers. There were a couple of other times where it happened above the break with good three-point shooters being left wide open, and it's disappointing. You know, you're 12 games into the year. Defense is what you talked about all offseason. You need to start seeing some improvements in the areas where there are flaws. Yes, they're doing some things well. I've talked about it a lot. I wrote an article about it on bourbonstreetshots.com. But the same point, there's clear mistakes, and those aren't improving at all right now, and that's very disappointing to see. As for the rest of the game, it went pretty much like you expected. Buddy Hield struggled, which he's been doing. I would have liked to see a little bit more of assertion from him, especially when he got the ball in his hands. You know, if he's not shooting well from three, and he hasn't been this entire year, run more pick and rolls for him. I don't understand why they're not setting screens for him to come off of. He did very well against the Lakers in that game, coming off of screens, coming off in the pick and roll, trying to score at the rim. And the Pelicans aren't running enough of those. He's being left to just shoot mid-range jumpers and three-pointers. Give him some easy offense. Create some space in the lane for him to at least try and drive to the rim. Let you see what he can do overall. And the Pelicans, you know, kind of aren't doing right by him in that sense. Etuan Moore coming back after missing the last game did his Etuan Moore thing. He's solid, but not spectacular. It's the type of player that's good for the Pelicans. You can see why they signed him. 14 points on the night. Didn't hit a three-pointer. This is going to be a theme, obviously, throughout the year that this team struggles to shoot from deep. You know, they were 7 of 21 total, 33 and a third percent. They need to be closer to 40. That would be ideal for this Pelicans team, but what you going to do? He did his thing. The other kind of big surprise was how many minutes Alexi Ajinsa got. And with Anthony Davis out, there are more minutes to go around. He got more than Omer Asik did by about 5 or 6. He was 2 of 8. Scored 6 points. He was actually kind of solid defensively, which is a little weird to say. That's why you hear it in my voice. I'm not quite certain of this, but I watched the game, and even Joel Myers said it, that he played pretty well on the defensive end, and he did. He was contesting shots. He was trying really hard to stay active and moving and not get beat, and he was doing a good job of that. I still think it's a one-game mirage. He was shaky on offense. He wasn't shooting particularly well, 2 of 8. 25 minutes is too much for Alexi Ajinsa, and you don't want to do that going forward. I mentioned the other guy earlier, Solomon Hill. They need to find a way to get him to score, whether that's running him off double screens, whether it's him being a backdoor cutter and just trying to get him an easy layup underneath the basket. They've got to do something. His confidence can't be there right now. And it's a shame to see, you know, he's their big money signing. This is a guy they are relying on for offense, not just his defense. His defense is very good. But if you can't score, you're playing 4-on-5 on offense. And for a team that's offensively challenged like the Pelicans, cannot do that at all. Another area that cost them the game, they had 18 turnovers tonight total for the team. That's rough. One, those are empty trips where they're not scoring, and in a close game, having 18 empty trips like that where you just turn the ball over is going to kill you. But not only that, you know, this Magic team's quick. They're young. They're athletic. They want to get out and run, too, a little bit when they can, though they don't do it a ton. And those 18 turnovers led to 21 points for the Orlando Magic. This Pelicans team in years past has done a good job defending in transition, but that's after they make a basket or miss a basket because they're getting back on defense. When you turn the ball over, you don't have time to get your defense back and get set, and that leads to fast breaks. That was the problem right there. Orlando had 15 fast break points. Pelicans cannot give up that many if they want to win games. They need to keep that around 8, so about half that number, 10 at the most. That's what really hurt them, just those turnovers. Tim Frazier is very guilty of that on the night. Etuan Moore, even though he did his usual Etuan Moore thing, 4 turnovers as well. 8 turnovers in the backcourt. These aren't front court players where they're underneath the basket turning the ball over and at least the guards can get back on defense. These are backcourt players. These are the guards turning the ball over. That means there's no one behind them to get back and try and slow down those fast breaks. And that really doomed the Pelicans tonight. But hey, there's good news, and that is Jrue Holiday will be practicing with the Pelicans tomorrow. I will be there over at the Smoothie King Center for his media availability. I'll try and bring you guys some quotes from him, some audio from that, put it in the podcast for tomorrow. He'll be, you know, in the Smoothie King Center, on the team, dressed, ready to go on Friday. If you can, get there and support him. He has been through a lot personally. I can't even imagine what it's like to have your wife have a brain tumor while having a newborn child. And it's wonderful to see that they must be doing very well. I talked about this yesterday, and Alvin Gentry said, they told him, don't come back unless everything's okay and you can fully focus on basketball. They didn't mind if he took some more time just to make sure his family situation was okay. He's back now. That means everything's great for her and the child, and that he can focus on basketball. And boy, do the Pelicans need him right now. So if you want to know how he's going to contribute, how he's going to change the way this Pelicans team looks, particularly on offense, give a listen to yesterday's podcast. I went, you know, in depth on the lineups, on the rotations, how they're going to use them, what are they going to do more. I'm excited to see more pick and roll with him and Anthony Davis and less Anthony Davis isolation and hero ball, even though that's been working. So it's going to be a wonderful thing to have him back. Like I said, I'll be at the facility on Airline Drive, you know, today, bringing you guys clips from his press conference. He's only going to talk really one day about the surgeries, about his family life, and then it's going to be focusing on basketball. So we'll be sure to bring you all that you need to know from that press conference to you guys on Locked On Pelicans. So that's going to be it for Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to give me a follow on Twitter. It's at Nola Jake. Please also give a follow to the podcast. It's at Locked On Pels. We tweet out when these episodes come out, so you'll always know when the next one is coming up. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, on Audio Boom, whatever app of choice you use to listen to these. I use Stitcher. Also, make sure you've subscribed to Locked On Saints' big game tonight against the Carolina Panthers on the road. They really need to win this one if they want to have a shot at the playoffs. Listening to Locked On Saints, find out what's going on. What do they have to do to win? I'm going to be tuning in. I can't wait because I'm excited to watch the game myself. And don't forget, Locked On NBA. It's a really great podcast. Covers the league as a whole. You'll learn a lot from it. Just very informative. So thank you all for listening. Again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be back with you tomorrow with a lot of Jrue Holiday news.